Good morning, everyone. I have a few announcements for you all. All being well, you'll have heard the news that next week, unless there are any significant changes in the coming days, we will meet together for worship. Morning service will be at 11:30 as normal, and we look together at Micah's prophecy of the coming Christ from Micah chapter 5. And then again, we meet for evening worship at 6:30, where we will use the Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 23, thinking how Jesus is our prophet, our priest, and our king. Tonight, there will be no evening service as such, but just as in the springtime, the Eden Grove service will be posted on our Facebook later in the afternoon. These are all the announcements. As you come together this day, we're going to just stop and pause and prepare our hearts as we come before the living God, the Lord God Almighty. You're called by God to worship him. The psalmist says, "Shout for joy to the Lord of all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever, and his faithfulness continues through all generations." We're going to join together in prayer, and as has become our practice, we do so that as stand together. Lord God, this day we are separated once more. But yet, Lord, we hear the news of how we'll be able to meet together once more next week. But yet, Lord, as we look back, we see how that this year has been one of highs and lows, with unexpected corners and curveballs that have come at us. Yet in the midst of this, Lord God, this day we come and we give you thanks wherever we are, acknowledging you, the Lord God of all the earth, worshiping you, our Lord and God. For we are your people, the sheep of your pasture, not in what we have done, but through what Christ has done on our behalf. For we know that we are fallen and sinful. We come aware of the brokenness of this world and the fallenness of our own being. Lord God, your word confronts us with this truth, and our experience reminds us of it daily. Heavenly Father, we come and we ask your forgiveness. Forgive us for our sins and trespasses. But lift our eyes this day and fill our hearts with praise, with the knowledge that it is not what we have done, but what Christ has done. That we have security, even though that we are fallen and broken and altogether sinful, not through our own endeavors or our works, but through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that we are your children this day, that we are a child of God, that we are secure in the midst of opposition as we are more and more conformed and transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ, living as your children. Confront us with that truth this day and day out. Help us to see past our present to the hope that we have in Christ. And help us, as we come to your word, to feast upon it. May it revive our souls that we may rejoice, for it leads us in the way of righteousness. Help us, Father, as we come to it, to know you more through it. Be glorified in us and through us. We pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to join together to read from God's word now. We're going to read two portions of scripture. The first being from John's Gospel. John's Gospel, we're going to read from chapter 1. And then we're going to read from 1 John chapter 3. So first, John's Gospel, chapter 1, reading from verse 1 to 13, and then we're going to read from 1 John, chapter 3, and we're going to read from verse 1 to 3, where we hear of what it is to be a child of God, how we're secure as a child of God, how we're transformed as a child of God, and how we are to live as a child of God. So, John's Gospel, reading from verse 1 to 13. To start with, this is God's Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent or a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Amen. We thank God for his word. And I turn over to John, 1 John, chapter 3. And we're going to read from verse 1 to 3. 1 John chapter 3, we're going to read from verse 1 to 3 as we think of being a child of God, how that we're secure as a child of God, how we'll face opposition as a child of God, transformed as a child of God, and living as a child of God, verse 3. 1 John chapter 3, reading from verse 1 to 3. This is God's word. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in himself purifies himself as he is pure. Amen. We thank God for his word. We can trust all that it says. So verse 1a, we're thinking of secure as a child of God. Verse 1b, opposition as a child of God. In verse 2, transformed as a child of God. And verse 3, living as a child of God. When a newborn baby arrives, there are always those comments. Oh, he's got his daddy's eyes. Or, oh, hasn't he his mummy's nose? He's so adorable, isn't he? Look at those cheeks. They're just like his granddad's. I'm sure we've all heard those, haven't we? Even when it's said, and a parent, you've likely heard it 20 times, that he's got his daddy's nose. But whenever you hear that he's got his daddy's nose 20 times, and from 20 different people, he's got his mummy's nose, you begin to wonder a wee bit. It's only natural, though, that whenever we gaze upon a child, we see that family resemblance. Okay, they look like themselves, but they often resemble different features of their parents. Then as the years go by, and you may have even had it said to you, that you're so like your mum, or you're so like your dad, or a grandparent. And that's all right, as long as it's a good quality they see in us, isn't it? But when we're told that you've got your ma's temper and your dad's laziness and you're as thrawn as those Burks, we're not so keen to hear it. There are all ways in which we're like our parents, whether it's because of genetics or it's learned behavior. But for us as the children of God this day, as we come together, although separated, it should be no different for the children of the living God. When people look at us, they'll maybe not see resemblances of noses or ears or eyes, but they should see a family resemblance that is who we are, in our relationships with others, in what we do, and that we resemble the likeness of the children of God. Here John continues, and he seeks to encourage those to whom he writes, on all that would subsequently read this letter, encourage them in holy living, living as the children of God, as part of God's family. And as we read, we're reminded of how in verse 1a, we're secure as a child of God. Secure as a child of God. As we think of that, we're going to begin by considering adoption. To rightly understand what it means to be the child of God, we need to know that adoption is a legal process. In our society, it's a legal process whereby a couple, or even today an individual, can take into their family a child or children that is not their own. And at that moment that child is adopted, they receive all the rights and privileges of being a child by birth. Look at what John says here in verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. We are the children of God through faith. We are, through faith, adopted as his children. And as a result, we have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, that is kept in heaven for us. It means that through our adoption, we are privileged, for we can come before the God of the universe and call him Father. For we have a relationship with him. It is the greatest privilege of all. Yet what makes this love the Father has lavished on us so remarkable is that there is nothing about us or within us that is in any way deserving of God's love or adoption of us. Now, many people have this idea in their heads that they're all right with God because God's forgiving and they must forgive them because otherwise he wouldn't be a good God. But the Bible tells us that our nature is so far opposed to God that we are not good. The Bible makes it clear that because of the fall, we've lost communion with God. We face God's displeasure and the curse, so that we're by our very nature children of wrath, bound slaves to Satan, and justly liable to all the punishments in this world and that is to come, because we are sinful. We are altogether sinful, although not as sinful as we could be. We are by our very nature the enemies of God. But this truth makes the love that God has lavished upon us all the more remarkable, for we are all deserving of condemnation, yet he chose to love us because he is love. We can know this love through Christ, through what he has done, by the work of the Holy Spirit within us, who has applied it to us, who has applied that salvation to us, dwelling inside us so that we're adopted heirs with Christ. This wasn't something that we could do or that we possessed already. It was a gift from God that the Holy Spirit dwells and applies within us. By this we are adopted. That's the only way that we can enter God's family. It's to be adopted not only as sons of God or only as adopted children, for there is only one Son of God. For Jesus came and for all who did receive him that we read from John's Gospel, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. It's the Holy Spirit that works within us. This is the love that God has lavished upon us, that we may be his children. We must always remember that God was under no obligation to save us from our sin. Even less was he obligated to grant us the privilege of sonship, that we might receive the inheritance in his Son. God would have been just to leave us in our sins, simply call us slaves, or without any great love or honor as a child receives from a good father. Yet God, in his great love, he not only saved us, but he adopted us into his family and has given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, that we are his children. May we never become ungrateful for this tremendous love. But let's be honest for a wee minute. It's a love that many of us find hard to accept, isn't it? You know, how God could love us out of his mere good pleasure. How he could love us even though that we don't deserve us because he chose us. We find this hard to accept. And the reason why is that our love is conditional. It's limited. And we have an idea of God that is more like our culture's portrayal of the fella who'll arrive later this month and reward all those who have been good and give coal to all those who have been bad. But God loves us in spite of how we are fallen people. He loves us unconditionally if we are his children. And we will not experience that kind of love that we experience in any other relationship. When we fail, when we mess up, God loves us as his children. The love of God has been lavished upon us, even though that we're not deserving, because he is love. Now, boys and girls, I want to talk to you for a moment. Did you know that each October the Queen announces her birthday's honours list? You might not know what that is, but it's whenever the Queen recognises the outstanding achievements of people across the United Kingdom. Like, if you were in school and you got an award for good behaviour, or how great your maths was, or how your English was, or how you were the best at something in GB or BB and you got your prize at the end of the year. That's what the Queen does in our society. She gives awards. Honours, they're called. Can you ever imagine, though, that you were given an award for how good you were at maths or how good you were at school or at BB or at GB and you got a knock on the door by your teacher or your BB leader or GB leader and they said, that award, I'm going to take it back because you're not deserving of it anymore. Well, there have been those in the past who've been given an honour by the Queen who've had it taken away because of what they've done and how bad they were. Now, I know that's hard to understand, how someone could do such a thing, but it's because of sin. But if we believe in God, if we are his children through faith, we can be confident that God will never, ever change our status as a child of God. There is nothing that we can do to lose that salvation. We will always be a child of God. You know, mums and dads, we need to remember this. The status that we have is secure. It's not going to be like an honor that's taken away by the Queen whenever we've messed up. Our status is secure. It will not be revoked. We cannot lose our salvation, for we are the children of God through faith. There's nothing that we can do to change that. It's the assurance of the believer, the confidence that we have in all that we face, that we are God's children. For as John says here, that is what we are. But it's December. You're stuck in the house. The sun may be shining through your window this day, but you're sitting on the sofa. Maybe your kitchen table, or maybe you're just lying in bed and you're lacking the motivation to do anything this day. You're weary, you're struggling, you're frustrated, you feel like a rubbish Christian, and then there's all that stuff that's going on out there, and the sin that you're struggling with that only you know about, and it just feels too much. Added to that is a stupid pandemic. You don't know what you're doing and for your dinner at Christmas time. Well, in the midst of it all, know that your salvation is secure. That in your struggles and failures, in your battles and your victories, whatever you are facing, if you have trusted and believed in the Savior, then you're a child of God, and nothing will ever change that. God loves you, Christian, not because you deserve it. He loves you because of Christ. Remember the great wonder that God has lavished upon us, the love that he has shown us in making us his children. That's what's happened to us through faith, that we become his children. We are such. This is a reality. This is our assurance in all that we face, that we possess and nothing can change it. That's what we are, as John exclaims. It's a great transformation. We turn from enemy to family, from wrath to love, not because we deserve it, but because of God's great love that he has lavished upon us. Our relationship has been transformed, and also our relationship with the world has been transformed. For we are now citizens of God's kingdom. We are no longer bond slaves to Satan. We are not part of this world of darkness, and we are secure as a child of God. But as a result, as verse 1 continues, we can expect in verse 1b, opposition as a child of God. Look at what John adds to what he has just said. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Being God's children separates us from the world that surrounds us. For we are now citizens of God's kingdom and not this world of darkness. This world has no desire to know God, and it refuses to recognize Christ as the Son of God. There's so much more conveyed to us here. For the world has rejected the reign of Christ, and we can likewise expect to be rejected. We can expect that the world will hate us as it hated Christ. That's what John goes on to say in verse 13. Look down at it. See, we shouldn't be surprised when the world hates us. Yet this is something that for many of us, we find it hard to hear, don't we? But if we have eyes to see, we know that it's true. Think of how many of us growing up, the norm in our society were biblical morals. We lived in the shadow of Christendom. Our country was seen as a Christian country, yet no more. Instead, we live in a culture that is not just no longer Christian, but is ever increasingly anti-Christian. As we look to the celebration of the Incarnation in a few weeks, normally it's something that our culture embraces because it's a lovely little story and it's acceptable. But as soon as we start mentioning the reason why the Incarnation was necessary, we're hated. We may be fearful of what the future holds, but know that this is how most of the world's Christians have lived throughout the centuries, all over the world. We talk about the church persecuted because in many countries, believers live in fear of this world because it is a world of darkness. This world is bound to that man of sin. This age is under the influence of the Antichrist, and many Antichrists have now come, which John has already reminded us. Jesus warned his followers that this world would hate us, for it hated him. And there are those out there who will teach you, Antichrist, who will teach you to expect a life of blessing from God, that you need to claim that promise, that you can have health, wealth, prosperity as a Christian. They do not say that you can expect to be hated. They are antichrists. What we can expect is what our Savior expected. And just as they hated him, we likewise can expect to be hated because as the children of God, just like our Savior, we reveal the sinfulness of this world of darkness. Just as this world did not know him, it does not know us. Standing for the truth of God's word today is costly, and it will be increasingly so. For the Bible is in direct opposition to this world of darkness, this country of darkness, this land of darkness. Some of the ways that we see today is that when it comes to the sanctity of life, the life of the unborn child, when it comes to euthanasia, whenever in some countries in this world, even depression and anxiety are grounds for someone to be euthanized. It is effectively murder in both cases. The state that we live in tells us that all that matters is consent when it comes to sexual practices. Yet we as a church need to support those who are facing unwanted pregnancies, be those who foster and adopt, be those who are caring for struggling and those with depression and anxiety, those who are old and infirm, to be a place where those who have sexual morality that is not in agreement with God's word are still welcomed, while at the same time in all these things we remain steadfast to the word of God and what it teaches, for it is in contrast to this world. And as the children of God, we need to look to him above all else. When this world wants us to affirm their sin, we cannot. We cannot change with the times to be a progressive church. Yet God demands and deserves our all. For we are his children. Think back to what John has already reminded us of. In chapter 2, he warned us not to love the world or the things of this world. As children of God, our love should be not focused on that which is under the control of the evil one, this world of darkness, as chapter 1 makes clear. For this world is ultimately hostile to God's people and God himself. Yeah, we should love the people of this world enough to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of the love of God with them, but we should not love the morality and the corruption of this world that constantly seeks to tempt his followers into sin. The Epistle of James reminds us that friendship with the world is hatred towards God. The danger that we all face, as many believers have faced throughout the ages, is that we either water down the radical demands of God for an easy life, thinking that we can still love the people of the world and we can still make a change without it radically changing us, that we can still love the bright lights of this world and not lose our love for the Father. But we can't serve two masters. If we love God, then we obey his word and his commands. We should expect that the world will not know us, for it did not know Christ. For we are the children of God, and we are to be righteous in Christ. We will be rejected like Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And all of this, our new status, leads to transformation. Verse 2, transformed as a child of God. We're now the children of God. But there's something even more wonderful that the knowledge of sins forgiven, reconciliation between us and our Heavenly Father. It is the love that God has shown us in the present age, but also what awaits us. Even though that these are the last days, even though we live in these in-between times, since the ascension of Christ and the second coming, we can look to that future glorious hope that awaits all those who've been given reconciliation to God, called his children. For when he appears, even though that what has not been made known yet, we know that we shall be like him, verse 2. This is the confident hope that we have this day. John is looking forward to the second coming of Jesus. There's a sense in which, as the children of God, we are already like children or Jesus. We live in the light. We are freed from the power of sin. But this looks to whenever he appears for his second coming. And we can have assurance that as believers, that on that day we will be glorified with him. Our bodies will be raised imperishable. And for all those who have died in the Lord before this day takes place, who have been waiting in heaven, for that moment, they will be reunited with their bodies. They and we will enjoy eternal life and a new creation. When the earth will be transformed, recreated by God, we will dwell with our God where he dwells. There's a sense that we will go back to the garden, not a literal Eden, but a new Eden, a new paradise where the living God dwells with his people. According to the Father's plan, a transformation will take place because we shall see him as he is and sit as a mirror reflecting the image and the person in front of it. And we all, with an unveiled face, behold the glory of the Lord and are transformed into the same image. And right now being transformed into the same image from one degree to another. This comes from the Lord who is in the Spirit. This is the hope that we can know through faith, that we will be conformed finally and fully, body and soul, in the image of Jesus our Lord. We do not know everything about that life, what it will be like as resurrected, glorified people. Yet it also tells us that we will be like him, like our Savior, never to die again. We may surmise that although we will be different, we will be able to recognize those whom we have known. For Jesus' friends all recognize the risen Christ, even though not at first. And finally, we will be glorified, unable to sin ever again. Christ's work of salvation for his children is comprehensive. It involves not only rescue from the penalty and power of sin, but also sin's corruption. We who are Jesus, or the child of God, who are in Jesus, can look forward to the day that even our bodies will be perfected. And as the Spirit dwells within us now, we will be the one to be perfecting our bodies. On that day, we will be like Jesus, and we are to pattern our lives after his example, now in glorious anticipation of that final day. For that's the hope that we need to look forward to, a day that we should long for as we live today in fallen, broken bodies in a corrupted world, that as this world decays, as this is the last hour, that we can have this hope. But sadly, many of us are more concerned about an easier life in the here and now, more concerned about our comfort, the central heating, the double glazing. You know, maybe it's the hope of science or a vaccine that's coming is what drives us to live longer or healthier. Many, it's the distraction or enticements that promise to be more satisfying than God himself. Yet Scripture tells us there is nothing more beautiful, more satisfying than God. And to know this hope, we taste this now in our salvation. We find Christ to satisfy our longing for our forgiveness, for meaning, for reconciliation with God. Imagine then how great it will be whenever we finally meet him face to face, whenever we're renewed body and mind, and nothing can ever be compared to it. What could possibly be better than seeing God face to face, since he's the source of all good, true, and all that is beautiful? To see the Lord face to face is to see goodness itself, to see truth and beauty. No longer will we need to be content with created things that only reflect these attributes, but we will be able to see the very attributes themselves. Let us, as God's people, yearn for the day when our faith shall become sight. Finally, in verse 3, it tells us what it means to live as a child of God. See, all this knowledge of how we're a child of God, the opposition that we'll face, and how we will be like him should be seen in how we live. John was aware that as we look to this hope, we should strive to be like him, that we would purify ourselves just as he is pure, as we're told here. That means in our lives we will seek him, that our desire will be to be conformed more and more into the likeness of Christ, and we will come into his presence, the pure Son of God. For everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him, as he is righteous. The more we know the truth of what God has done for us, the more we will see the hope that awaits us through faith, the more we should desire to live in a way that pleases him. And it will be seen in our lives as the children of God, as our character traits. There are many who have put their hands up at meetings, who have prayed the sinner's prayer, but it has never made a difference in their lives. Well, here John makes it clear that if you've come to know Jesus, the Holy One of God, then it will be seen in your life, for we are to live as the children of God. If you today are in doubt about your standing, then ask yourself this. Have you sought to live as a child of God, being more and more conformed into the likeness of Christ? Have you sought to purify yourself from sin? Of course, there'll be struggles along the way. There may even be persistent sins that you're finding hard to die to. But are you seeking to live for Christ? Well, if you are, know that you are his child. If you're purifying yourself, know that you have the privilege of God's children. But maybe you're frustrated with your current progression in holiness, thinking that you'll never overcome that persistent sin. But know that if you hope in Christ, you are a child of God, and you are already becoming like him. In prayer, ask the Lord to remind you that you are his child, and that as such, you can resist temptation. Thank him for restoring you when you do not, when you fail, and hope in him today that you might live accordingly. And look always to that future hope that you have. Do not listen to the lies that Satan will tell you, or accept that this is your battle with sin and you can't win it. Do not believe Satan's lie that you can't do it and you may just give up. Instead, continue to look to the Savior, knowing the confidence that you have of sins forgiven as a child of God through faith in him. Let us look to Christ. Let us look to God. Let us know the work of the Spirit within us as the child of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we ask that you may help us to abide all the more in Christ, knowing the hope that we have in him, living Christ-like, being conformed more and more into his image. For we are children of God. Help us to know that security that we have, to be secure as a child of God. And even though that we face opposition as a child of God, to know that one day we will be transformed as a child of God. And that in the here and now, we ask that you may help us to live more and more as a child of God. For Lord, we know that the great transformation that has taken place within us is from enemy to family, from wrath to love. Not because we deserve it, but because of Christ. And just like many people face in this world, the opposition that they face for believing in Christ, we know that likewise we will face the same for following your radical word. Help us not to love the bright lights of this world, but instead to love you and the true light of the world. Help us to look forward to that day whenever we will be transformed from corrupted bodies into perfected bodies, mirroring the image of Christ. And help us not to listen to the lies of Satan that will try to bring us down and pull us down. And Father, at this time, we're aware that this life is broken. We're aware of many who are struggling and suffering. Those who've had accidents, those who are facing illnesses. And we pray that, Lord, at this time, that you may help us to have that hope of what lies ahead more than anything else, to share that hope with others, that you may alleviate suffering and help those who are facing illness. Give hope where there is hopelessness, but ultimately a hope that is beyond this life and kingdom to you, our God. Help us to love our brothers and sisters, and help us, Lord, as the people here in this place, for it to be evident in how we live, love, and what we do, that in our likeness, we have the likeness of the children of God, in how we interact with each other, in how we love each other, in how we forgive each other, and in how we are in this community that surrounds us. Heavenly Father, we pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to join together now to sing God's praise once more, and we're going to do so in the words of "The Lord is my salvation." Stand for the grace. Until we meet again, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, The love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and forevermore. Amen.